Hi, thank you for having Danielle and I here tonight. We're excited to be back here in Reidsville and to visit you guys and to share a little bit with you. So, first of all, I'm thankful to be here. If you have your Bible and you would like to look, I'm going to look briefly at one of the Psalms. And if you want to turn there, you can. If you'd like to just listen as I read it, you can. It's Psalm 126. Psalm 126 is one of the Psalms of Ascents, which is probably what the people of Israel would sing as they went up to Jerusalem, as they ascended to Jerusalem during times of feast. And this particular psalm, based on the contents and the themes, was probably written after the people of after Judah returned from being in captivity in Babylon. Just a little background for that. But I'm gonna read it's only six verses, so I will read those right now, verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for your gracious love towards us, people who did not deserve it, people who could not earn your favor, people who could not make ourselves desirable to you, but yet in your love and in your grace and your mercy, you chose to save us. Lord, we're grateful for that tonight. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for his perfect life that he lived, for his death that he died on the cross on our behalf, for his resurrection that brings us new life. We're thankful for him tonight. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless this time that we have together. I pray that as I share what you've laid on my heart tonight, that it would be an encouragement to the brothers and sisters here at the chapel. Lord, bless our time. We love you and we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we look at Psalm 126, tonight mainly I want to kind of share some things by way of testimony, but I wanted to open with this psalm and make a couple comments about it. As we look at this psalm, we see right in the middle or right there in the last couple of verses of this psalm, we see a beautiful promise that those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. This isn't the only place in Scripture that we see this kind of idea. In Isaiah, I think it's in Isaiah 61, when Isaiah is talking about the Messiah and prophesying about who this anointed one will be and what he will be like and what he will do. One of the things that he said that the Messiah would come to do would be to bring beauty for ashes, to bring beauty out of a thing of what burned up stuff that seems useless, right? That we would normally not want, that we would get rid of, that may be symbolic of destruction or pain or loss, but that the Messiah would come to bring beauty out of that. In John chapter 16, Jesus told his followers, he gave his followers a very similar promise. He said, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." There's a theme that's common throughout Scripture and really common in the Christian life. You know, the best, clearest, most striking picture of this, of course, is Jesus' work on the cross. And we think about Jesus' work, what he did on the cross, and there he died, which to everyone else and to his followers seemed like the ultimate defeat, the ultimate tragedy. Everything's over. All he had lived for and worked for and taught about, well, he ended up dead. He ended up killed on a cross. But what God did on Easter was he took the worst tragedy in the history of the world. I mean, really, right? Isn't that the worst thing that ever happened in the world? That God got killed by the people that he created? And so the worst thing that ever happened in the world, God took that and he transformed it in order to make it the best thing that ever happened in the history of the world. So that God in his power and his wisdom would do something that nobody could imagine that he would do. He took this awful thing and he turned it into a great blessing and something that would be for his glory and for our benefit. So, as we look at Psalm 126 and it talks about those who sow in tears, reaping with shouts of joy, as we think of beauty being brought out of ashes, we look at the gospel and we look at Jesus on the cross and then rising from the dead on Easter, and we can say that if God was able to do that with the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world, surely he can bring good and beauty out of the pains and the difficulties in our lives. Because certainly those can't compare to the cross. And so we have that hope. You know, we saw this, Danielle and I saw this in our team and our friends in China over and over. So I've spoken here before, I'm not sure. Maybe I see some new faces. So my wife and I spent about 6.5 years in China working to share the gospel and disciple college students on some college campuses in Southwest China. And we just moved back 2 months ago, and we're in a kind of transition period, and we're about to move to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to be a resident at the Memphis Teacher Residency, which probably a lot of you are familiar with because Bethany is there. So anyway, that's a little bit about our history, just a brief introduction. But while we spent those years in China, we definitely saw this truth and this promise being worked out in our lives, that those who sow in tears would reap in shouts of joy. And I don't mean by that at all that, our experience was so terrible or we went through all this suffering. You know, I mean, we weren't like out in a village with, you know, no access to the internet or something like that. You know, the worst thing you could imagine. But, you know, that's not what I mean. But I do mean that there were difficult things. There were tears. I mean, first of all, it was hard to leave our families for a long time and multiple times. That was really difficult. And there were certainly tears and sadness over the reality of what it meant to leave them behind and to miss friends' weddings and to miss important events in our siblings' lives. That was difficult. We shared the gospel with a lot of students who became dear friends to us, and many of them, most of them, rejected the truth about the gospel. And that was very difficult, and that was painful to see that. It was sad to see students who had professed to be followers of Jesus and who had, in our estimation, we thought they had borne some fruit of that, but they ended up ultimately rejecting the truth of the gospel and walking away from their professed faith in Christ. And that was very difficult and very sad for us to see that. There was also just difficulties in, you know, living in an unfamiliar culture in a different place. And China is a great place, and it's a great place to live. And there's many wonderful things about it and many wonderful things about Chinese people. But I'm not Chinese and I'm not from China. And so a lot of it was, you know, sometimes it was hard to swallow and hard to deal with and hard to figure out. And so there was just those kind of difficulties. And in reality, that's not that different from what life would have been if we had stayed in North Carolina for the last 6.5 years. There would be pain and difficulty. And as we saw, if we had been here and if we were serving the Lord here, there would have been very similar difficulties and discouragement. So wherever we are, as we seek to serve the Lord, there are those times. But as Danielle and I look back, and we've talked about this, I know she would agree with me 100%. As we look back on the time that we spent there, neither of us would focus on those discouraging or disappointing things, even though they were real and we wouldn't forget about them. But as we look back, we really think we really think about these words from verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. We really feel full of joy. We feel glad as we look back and see the great things that the Lord has done for us. We saw God do a lot of great things. Not really because of what we were doing and because we were amazing missionaries and we had a lot of expertise. It wasn't because of that, because we weren't and we don't. But we did see Him do many things around us. And we saw Him do many things in us as He worked to transform us and to be more like Christ. Tonight, I want to share with you some of the things that God taught us while we were in China. Some things that the Lord was working in our lives and teaching us through different circumstances. And really, I'm not going to share as much about specific ministry strategies or focuses or things like that. I've shared that here before. I think you're familiar with that. But really, I want to share more of what I would think of as a testimony. A testimony of some things that the Lord has been teaching us and that He has continuing to teach us. And I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you as well. None of these things that I'm going to share are unique to me as a Christian. I think they would be familiar to all of us. None of these things are unique to China. You don't have to live in China to have these experiences. I think the Lord used China in a great way to teach us these lessons, but it's not just a China, Josh and Danielle Shelley thing. I feel like it could be an encouragement to you as well, and I hope that it will be. So I'm going to tell you four lessons that we learned. They're not very organized. They're not alliterated. They're just some things that the Lord put on my heart. I sat down a couple of different times and just, you know, typed out a few things that as I thought back about our years that felt like the Lord had been teaching us. And I know there's more to go on that list. I'm not going to share them all tonight. I don't have time to do that. But four that I feel will be that the Lord may use as an encouragement to you. And I hope that He will. The first lesson I want to speak about that we have been learning is that God uses us when we are on the lookout for opportunities to be used by Him. And that certainly applies in many different areas of our service for Him. Specifically, I think of it, and I'm thinking of it in terms of sharing the gospel, that God uses us to share the gospel when we are looking out for opportunities to share the gospel. Mainly because I think there's a lot more opportunities than we're aware of that He provides us. And when we're looking for those, that and we take advantage of those, the Lord can really use us. I think one reason that China helped us learn this lesson was because of just the nature of the kind of ministry that we were doing there. As you know, China's a communist nation and somewhat closed to evangelism. And so we didn't really have many, for the most part, we couldn't do public events. There were a few exceptions if we, you know, were tricky enough. But in general, we didn't do our ministry through public events. We didn't have a Thursday night, Christian meeting with a sign over the door, Christians meet here, come if you're interested. We were having to go out and to find them and to really reach out to people and be on the lookout for those opportunities. So basically what we were doing was going out, meeting students however we could, and starting conversations about spiritual topics. So we needed to be looking for, people who might be interested, clues that a person might be open to talking about spiritual things, whether that was something that came up in a conversation, something they brought up, or maybe just an opportunity that we had to mention that we were a Christian or to bring up something about faith or the existence of God, something just to kind of toss something out there and see if they would toss it back, if they might be interested. And we really had to be always on the lookout and always ready because we didn't know when those opportunities were going to present themselves. Peter gives a great reminder, challenge for this in 1 Peter when he says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." That we should always be prepared. We should be ready for that. We took that a little step further. Maybe don't wait for them to ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready that if there's any chance that you have to begin speaking with them about the Lord or about spiritual things. But, he says, do it with gentleness and respect. And that takes effort. And that takes thinking. That means you can't just meet someone and, you know, within the first 20 seconds manipulate the conversation into what you want to talk about and then just yell at them and for 20 minutes while they just sit there and listen, or probably not listen. But we're supposed to do it with gentleness and respect. And that takes forethought. It takes effort. It takes compassion and care for the person that you're talking to. So I think Peter's advice and his command there is really wise. And we needed to be prepared. And one way that we met a lot of students was in the student cafeteria. So I have eaten countless meals in the student cafeteria, and I don't know what you would imagine that the student cafeteria in China is like, but whatever you imagine it's like, it's probably true. It's not real pleasant, but it's a great place to meet students. So we spent a lot of time there, and that was a great place to get into conversations. They're in the break between class or whatever. One day I was, it was this past December, right before Christmas, a few days before Christmas, I was in the student cafeteria, and I don't remember what had happened or while I ate, but after I was done eating, sometimes I try to block that out of my mind maybe, but when I was done eating, I was leaving the cafeteria, and a guy came up to me, a student came up to me, and started talking to me. And his name was Peter, and he was part of the English club. And on Christmas Eve, the English club was going to have a Christmas party, and they wanted me to come and be the honored guest. Which if you go to China, you can be the honored guest at many parties, if you're into that. But I already had some other plans for Christmas Eve, so I wasn't able to go. But I sat down with Peter and his friends and started talking to them. And of course, him bringing up Christmas Eve was a great opportunity for me to talk about Christmas and what is the meaning of Christmas. This isn't one of my lessons, but I'm going to add a freebie in here. One thing that we really were really challenged by while we were in China was the Chinese believers' view of Christmas. To Chinese believers, Christmas is the best time of the whole year not to get together with your friends and not to give a lot of gifts and get a lot of stuff. It's the best time of the year to share the gospel with your friends and your family and your coworkers. And as a whole, it's just amazing how dedicated the Chinese church is to using Christmas as a time to share the gospel. Churches will rent out a big ballroom of a hotel, and everybody will invite all their friends and family and the people they work with, and they'll come there and they'll do music and skits and they'll share the gospel. And it's really a great time throughout the nation of China where churches all in China are sharing the gospel with people. And they've really grabbed hold of that. Not that they don't share the gospel other times, but because people are interested in Christmas, they found how great of an opportunity it is. So we kind of took the lead from them, and we found that talking about Christmas was a great way to share the gospel. So, you know, even like you could say things like, 4 months from now, it's going to be Christmas. Do you know what Christmas is about? So sometimes maybe we took it to the extreme. But so Peter, asking me about this Christmas party, gave me a great opportunity to bring this up with him. So come to find out, last summer, there was a guy from, I don't know who it was, some guy from America, went to China, made friends with Peter, gave him a Bible, shared the gospel with him. And Peter had actually learned a lot about the gospel and about Christianity. And so just me bringing up that simple conversation, which basically he gave me the opportunity very easily, opened up a door for a lot of future spiritual conversations with him. I don't know if some of you may have seen our newsletters I wrote about him, I was able to take him to a place where he could get access to Christian books, and he started reading. He started reading his Bible, or maybe he had already been reading it, I think. And every time we got together, he had questions about the Bible and about what he had been reading. And as far as I know, Peter is not a believer yet, but God just used that, you know, chance meeting there in the cafeteria as a great opportunity for him to hear the gospel again and for him to have some difficult questions answered that I believe he was really genuine in asking. There's a guy named Eric, Eric's one of our best Chinese friends. A long time ago, when we were first in China, Danielle and another American friend were on campus, and Eric walks up to them and starts speaking English, and he's excited to meet them. And sometimes when people walk up to you and start speaking English, it can be a little overwhelming, and sometimes they just want you to be their, you know, their foreign friend because they never had a foreign friend, which gives sometimes good opportunities, but sometimes they can take advantage of you. So I think Danielle was a little wary or hesitant of that, but she noticed that he was carrying a stack of books, and in that stack of books, I don't know what it was, but there was a book about Christianity in there. So Danielle saw that book, and she said, "Oh, you know, why do you have this book?" And he said, "Well, I just became a Christian a few months ago." And so that then they got into a deeper conversation. Danielle connected him with our team. He met a lot of other Chinese believers. He started being discipled by a guy on our team. He came to a kind of in-depth how to study the Bible study on Ephesians that I was leading, and he really started to grow, and he started to reach out to other students. He started to lead other students and became a leader of the Christian students at the campus we were at. And then after he graduated, he decided to go into full-time ministry, and now he is doing college ministry in China, and reaching students in another city. And he just got got engaged a couple months ago. He's getting ready to get married next month to a Christian young lady who he met through the college ministry that he was involved in. And so that is just a simple story of how God used that one chance that Danielle had, and really to have a huge impact on us, because we gained a great friend and a great coworker out of it, and also to make a big impact on Eric's life. And so, and we could tell you a lot more stories about that. They're not, I mean, neither of those stories are just amazing. Wow, how could this possibly happen? But it shows that when we're on the lookout, when we're willing to take those simple opportunities, that the Lord will use us to do that. Another lesson that we learned, which I think is very related to what I just said in summary, is that God does big things through us doing small things. So that God uses the small things that we do to accomplish His big, great, global purposes. To be honest and frank, I'll tell you something about missionaries. Most missionaries, when you come home on furlough, and when you're going and you're meeting with individuals, or when you're speaking at a church or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to come back and give this report about something great or some things great, okay? That you need to have these big stories and charts and numbers and all of these amazing successes that you've had. And it's seriously a big prayer. And not only when you come home, but also, I mean, you've got to write a prayer letter every month. And what amazing thing are you going to tell people, you know? And it's like, people get number and number, and they're like, "Oh, that's nothing compared to last month. Come on, can't you give me something more?" And there's this great pressure to do something. What did you go over there and do? Tell me about what you did that's so great. And just to be honest, I spent 6.5 years in China, and I didn't do anything great. And I mean that in sincerity. I don't mean that just I'm not saying that just to be humble. Really, I really didn't do anything great in 6.5 years. You know, I'll tell you, but that's not what I thought when I went, of course. I would have told you that I was going to go and do something great. And let me give you an idea of what I expected. This is how I expected God would work through me. I thought I would go to China. I would meet this student who came from a pagan background, didn't know anything about the gospel, never heard of Jesus Christ before, and I would share the gospel with him. And then he would have a lot of really difficult questions and wrestling through these things, and I would help him. And I would, you know, give him resources, and I would answer his difficult questions. And then after time and study, he would put his faith in Jesus, and his life would be transformed. And then I would lead him through some basic Bible study. So he would learn about the Bible, and he would learn what it means to be a Christian. And then after that, he would be growing, and he would be wanting to learn more. And so I would train him deeper in the Bible, and he would really just become a great student of the Bible, and he would start reaching out to other students, and that he would become a leader, and he would be leading Bible studies and doing evangelism, and then he would graduate, and he would go into full-time ministry, and he would, you know, reach all these students for Christ, and then he would also go to another country that's a Muslim country, and he would share the gospel with these Muslims, and that it would just be great. And God would use me to do this. And then I could write a lot of really good prayer letters. And I could come back here and tell you, and you would all be impressed that Josh Shelley is a really great missionary. So, if you haven't guessed by what I've said so far, that didn't happen. But what did happen, something did happen though. Actually, all of those things that I just talked about happened. And what God did was, instead of him using me to carry my friend from here to here, he had me standing right here, and there was all these various students and friends and neighbors coming past me on this journey. And I was able to intersect their lives at different points, and I was able to be a small part of those different stages that I was talking about. And I was able to be a small part of all of those different stages, but not in one person's life. I didn't do this amazing, great thing of taking this one person from, you know, all the way from negative 10, wherever. That's not how God used me. What he did was he allowed me and Danielle and the other people that we were with in China, he used us to intersect people's lives in these very small ways, but insignificant ways. And I think, and I know if I look in my life, and I think if you look back in your life and you think, how did I become who I am? And especially if you think about your spiritual life and how did you become who you are spiritually, I doubt that there's anyone, and at most one or two people here, who would say, yeah, that was my experience. Somebody started from there and brought me all the way to where I am today. That's not how God works. Instead, he uses different people at different points in our lives, and we can probably look back and think at different stages in our lives that were kind of turning points or very significant points in our spiritual lives, and see how God used a different person to do something probably fairly small at that point, but it really transformed the trajectory of where our life was going. And that person probably wouldn't look at you and say, well, that, you know, Dave Langston is the man he is today because of what I did. But yet all of those significant, small but significant things that they were doing, God added all those things together to make you and me who you are. And that's how he used us in China, not to do something great, but to do a lot of small things that he would add to a lot of other people doing a lot of small things, and he would do something great through that. And so I feel really encouraged and really thankful for that. You know, God rarely uses one person to do the whole thing. Even Paul, who the greatest missionary in the history of the world, Paul, what did he say? I planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the harvest, right? So even Paul realized he was just a part of one step that God was doing. But it was God who was orchestrating the whole thing, and it was God who would bring the harvest. But I think a lot of times because we don't realize how God is going to use our small contribution, then it seems really small. And it seems not very important. And it seems like it's not going to have any effect. And so we get discouraged, and it seems insignificant, and maybe we just decide, well, I don't even want to do this anymore because it's so small and it's so insignificant, and I've been doing this for years, and it doesn't seem to have any effect on anybody. But that's because we don't realize that God is using those small efforts that we make to do great things and to accomplish his purposes. You know, just like Eric, I still, to this day, Eric's one of my great friends. I don't know who that person was who led Eric to Christ. And I don't know who it was who gave him that Christian book. And I don't know who it was that led him up to that point when we met him. And many different people that I know and that I don't know have played various roles in his life. And I was able to be a small part of one of those roles. Danielle was able to be a small part of one of those roles. Many people were. And God used all of those things together, and that's how he works. And he does it for his glory. And to keep us from saying, oh, well, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. And God sure is lucky that he found me to do all these great things for him. But instead, we say, well, we are lucky that God would bless us and allow us to be any part of the great things that He is going to do. It's a blessing to know that, that even our small efforts, God will use those for His glory and for His purposes. God, the third lesson that we learned that I want to share tonight is that God really showed us the value of a community of believers. The value of living in a community of believers. Americans are very independent. And we know that, but I think after I experienced another culture, I can see that even more. But I mean, one of our most sacred things as Americans is called the Declaration of Independence, right? And of course, now we're not worried about being independent from Britain anymore, but we are still very, very independent people. And our lives are often very disconnected from other people's lives. And we wake up and we go and we get in our car and we roll up the windows and lock the doors and turn on the radio and we drive to wherever we're going. And then we get there and we do whatever we're going to do. And hopefully we don't have to talk to anyone who might annoy us while we're there. And then, right? I mean, yeah, I'm not saying this like I have been to China and I know and you should learn from me. But I mean, it's in our nature, right? And I'm like that too. We're very independent and we do our thing and we have our ways about doing it and we don't want people too close to us, which is pretty easy to do in America. Not so easy to do in China because of 1.3 billion people. Make it a little hard to be very far, at least physically, you can't get far away from other people. I mean, forget getting in the car and rolling up the windows, listen to the radio. You're on the bus, you know, this close, and that old lady's got her cane in your back, and an old man has his knee, you know, in your stomach or whatever. So, that makes it, I guess you'd have to be really tall to do that, but, or if you were short. But either way, physically, you're not going to get far away from other people. But that's not really what I'm getting at. I'm talking about the Christian community that we were able to experience while we were there, which was unlike anything else that I have ever experienced. Because we were, the whole time we were there, we were on a team, and that team changed. We were actually on two different teams, and people would come and people would go. It wasn't always the same people, but we were a group of outsiders. We're in a strange place where it's not easy to live. We're away from our homes. We're away from our family. We were really forced to be friends. I mean, we didn't choose the people that were on our team. And if we could have chosen, some of them we probably wouldn't have chosen. I'm being completely honest about that. I mean, these weren't necessarily the people we would have chosen to be friends with, but we had to be. We were forced to be. These were the people that they were our friends, they were our families, they were the people who gave us medical advice, they were the people who helped us, you know, if we had problems, and the people who answer questions that you have. They are the ones you spend holidays with. I mean, we really became family for each other, and we really depended on each other. And that was what was really significant, I think, as Daniel and I have talked about it, was we had to depend on each other. And it's easy to go through life really never needing to depend on anyone, you know, maybe outside your immediate family, and that you can kind of set up your life so you don't need anything from anybody. And a lot of, I think, and there's people who, at least by the way they talk and act, I would think that it must be that they think that the worst thing imaginable would be that you would be dependent on somebody or that you would need to lean on another person. But that's really what we had to do. We had to have that. We had to have those people. You know, you first get there, you can't read, you can't talk, you can't understand anything, you don't know how to do anything. You need people to help you. And then, of course, as time goes by, you need the support spiritually, emotionally, just in life. It was really significant that we studied God's Word together. We had a common goal and a vision and a mission that's why we were there. We had all moved to China from different places and different backgrounds, but we had one goal in common. And because we were going together toward that goal, we forced ourselves to work out our differences. And we forced ourselves to figure out how to get along with these people that we might not necessarily like. And we forced ourselves to figure out how to help them because we were helping them toward the same goal. And that was really significant. We prayed together for that goal. We sat around often, and we prayed for God to save students, and we prayed for Him to transform China and to work on the campuses that we were at, and that was significant for our relationships. And we really saw the best and the worst of each other. And we had the best and the worst of ourselves seen by other people. And very significantly, because we were in this close community that we depended on each other, and because we were heading toward this common goal, and we needed everybody to be in it, and we needed everybody to be effective, very significantly, we had permission to hold each other accountable. So that we knew what was going on in other people's lives. We knew what was going on in other people's marriages. We knew how they were spending their money and how they were spending their time. And we knew how they were treating other people. We knew how they spoke to people when they were frustrated. And we had permission to hold each other accountable about those things. And it wasn't always easy or fun. It's not fun to have someone tell you that you are, too proud, or, it's not fun to have to tell someone that they have regularly been rude to the people around them and it's really hurting people's feelings. That's not fun to do, but because we had the permission and the safety to do that, it brought real transformation in people's lives. And we saw ourselves and we saw our friends and our teammates grow so much because they had other people in their lives who were speaking truth to them and who were challenging them and who were encouraging them. And that was really very, made a big impact on us. And really, I think that's what the New Testament is presenting as the ideal for Christian community, that we would know each other, that we would love each other, that we would help and encourage and exhort each other. And we're thankful for that. And we were really, that honestly was one of the hardest things for us about leaving China, and it's been one of the hardest things for us about being gone, is the loss of that community that we had. A fourth lesson very quickly that we learned was that God would always meet our needs, and that He's still teaching us that. And He did that, of course, financially He met the needs that we had, but in many other ways. Our emotional needs, our spiritual needs. He met our need for friendship. He met just some very basic logistical needs. I mean, living in a foreign country, there's a lot of logistical things that we needed. We needed visas, and we needed a school that would teach us Chinese, and we needed apartments to live in, and we needed all these things that didn't just automatically come, and that sometimes were the source of a lot of stress and worry and not sure, but the Lord was faithful. He provided for what we needed in some very difficult situations and ways that we really were at the end of our rope and said, I don't know what we're going to do about this. And the Lord always provided. And I think that's a great lesson for us as we continue in our lives and as we're still young people and we have a lot of time left, probably, statistically we do at least, and as we are going to face a lot of other needs, and that we can look back on those things as mile markers in the history of our lives where God has been faithful and where He's provided, and we can trust Him to do that again in the future. You know, I'm definitely still very much in the process of learning these lessons. I don't mean to say at all that these are the things that God taught me and now I know them and I always apply them perfectly to my life. He's still teaching them to us. And so, you know, we're moving in 12 days or something like that, and we're going to a new place and a new kind of ministry and building new relationships. And we're going to have to figure out, how do we apply these lessons that we've learned to this new context and to a new type of ministry and to a new location? How do we continue to believe these things? How do we continue to know and trust that God will meet our needs? How do we continue to learn to take every opportunity and to be looking out for opportunities to share the gospel? Because we're not going to be in a student cafeteria in China anymore, and it's going to look really different. So how do we apply that to our new vocation? And believing that God will use our small efforts as part of His great plan. And really, how do we find this? How do we build and participate in this community that will be transformational and accountable and encouraging of one another? And so please pray for us as we seek to apply these lessons in a new place. And I hope that's encouragement to you as well, you're reminded of the ways that God may work, that you'd be on the lookout for opportunities to share the gospel. Simple things, but if we're on the lookout, God will use us. You know, are you aware and do you believe that God is using your small efforts as part of his big plan? I think that's a hard one to believe, and it's easy to get discouraged. But that's how he works, and I hope that's encouraging to you. And I hope that you're seeking to be a part of that kind of community where you're accountable, where you love each other unconditionally, where you let other people into your business and into your problems, and where you really help them in their problems and you seek to love them and serve them. And I hope that you're trusting God to meet your needs and that you're living in a way that you feel like you have some needs for him to meet. It's easy for us to insulate our lives so we don't need anything, but I hope that you're trusting him to meet all of your needs, whatever those are. So I hope it's encouragement to you. It's just a testimony of what God's been teaching us, and I hope that it's a blessing to you, and just Daniel and I are really thankful to say that the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad, and we're glad to share them with you. So thanks for having us here tonight. We're glad to be here, and that's a blessing that God's given us. So thank you.